what we're going to do is teach a little tonight on deliverance. Sometimes you have to understand what's going on, right? So if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to go into the 26th verse of chapter 8. Let's put it right back there. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and were no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And he saw Jesus. He cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of God and Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, let's just talk for a little bit about this. Whenever a person has a deliverance ministry, demons will manifest in front of you, just like they did Jesus. I teach my people that want to minister in this area, don't go become a demon chaser. Don't go and look for trouble. Trouble will find you, but don't go looking, because of the fact that if you're called to this particular type of a ministry, God trains you little by little, day by day. And to give you an example, when the first time or the first year that I was called into the deliverance ministry, he didn't put a legion of devils in front of me. Amen. We used to have a women's meeting, and we would cast out cigarette devils and little housewife arguments with their husbands and stuff like that, you see. And little by little, as you see the power of God operating, he will keep moving you up into a ladder until finally you got it all together. But if you try to rush into the deep waters before you're called there, you get beat up real bad by the demons, because they know what you know, they know what you believe, they know how deep you are in the spirit. So the best thing to do, let God move you. Don't move. I'd say it like this to the ministers. Don't go to the need. Go when you're sent. Now, we could all walk out of this room right at this second and go find a lot of needs. We could do that. And we could go looking for needs, too. But if God hasn't sent you, you probably won't get a very big harvest when you go. There's a scripture over in the book of Acts. You'll have to look it up later. I'm just remembering it. And it shows that the disciple wanted to go over into Asia. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go to Asia. He didn't tell him why not to go to Asia. Just don't go to Asia. And then a little bit later on in the book of Acts, he tells them to go to Asia. And when they went to Asia that time, they got a harvest. So in order to understand supernatural things, you have to see that a heart is like a garden, and the Lord prepares the garden for the plantings. And you are like a sower of seed, and you sow seeds into a heart. You're planting those seeds into the heart for people to receive Jesus. Now, if you're a farmer, which I never have been, I used to plant around in my garden out in Ponte Vedra, flowers, not fruits or nothing. But, you know, grass and stuff and watch things grow and that sort of thing. But, and I used to even, I even learned how to take a limb from this tree and a limb from that tree and put them together and bind them together and grow things like that. So I know just a tiny little bit. I can't say that I know a lot. But a seed, when you plant a seed in the ground, you watch it every day for it to come up out of the ground. I remember planting a lima bean one time when I was a child. And when I did, you know, every day I'd look and finally I saw just a little tip come up out of the ground, and then finally this little hook came up, and you just watched it every day until it started growing a vine, a sweet potato. You can put a sweet potato in a glass of water, and it will grow roots, and then it'll start growing vines. You can grow the most beautiful vine you've ever seen from a sweet potato. So when you plant the seed, you don't see a result instantly. And so sometimes in evangelism, it works that same way. You're planting a seed when you speak of Jesus to people, and they may not react at all. They may not act like they're reacting. But I can tell you that you never know sometimes when you're speaking about spiritual things what's going on in the heart of a person. And the Bible says it like this: one plants, another one comes along and waters, but God gets the glory. And he waters and he brings it forth, you see. And so none of us can take credit for the seeds that we plant, actually, because God gets the growth of that plant. And so it works that you plant and he'll send another person to water and another person to water. And you might think, I just am a failure. Nothing happened. Something probably happened when you planted the seed. But it takes time for it to show growth, okay? And so the very first thing that you have to learn is that you're just an instrument. You're not the big ball of wax. If God chooses to do things through you, praise God. But just move and become a person. As a pastor that I used to know, he said, when I get behind the pulpit, he said, I try to stand behind the cross. In other words, he wants you to see Jesus. He's a Jesus reflector. And when we become Jesus reflectors, that's when we get harvest, right? And so in this case, Jesus got out of the boat, and he started walking, and here comes this man from the tombs. And the Bible says that the demon-possessed person initiated the conversation, you see. And so in deliverance, you have to be very, very careful that you don't become someone that's forcing on someone else what you know they need. Because if you force them to do things, even if they need it, and they're not prepared or ready or want it, you can actually practice witchcraft as a Christian. Jesus doesn't require anybody to do anything unless they want to. And neither should we. This is why you talk about it before you do it. You lead them before you do it. Amen. And so this man initiated the conversation. And so it says, I already read it, and when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils for a long time, and he wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. This was a homeless person. That's what we would know these people as today. The cities are filling up with homeless people. Some of them are out on the streets because of not any thing that they've done wrong, because our government has stolen and looted the banking systems of our land, and people have lost their homes. And then there are other people that are out on the streets because of the fact that they just don't want to work. They just want to do whatever they want to do when they want to do it, and they're out on the streets because of different reasons like that. And some of them are out there because they are demon-possessed, just like this man. And so whenever a person becomes demon-possessed, one of the things that they do is their outside, the body that they walk around in, begin to reflect demon possession. They'll take their clothes off. Have you noticed how people take their clothes off? Have you noticed how Obama's wife, for instance, all the pictures show her shoulders and her bare back and all of that? No first lady ever dressed like that before. But they're trying to make her, they say, she's Jacqueline Kennedy O. I never saw Jacqueline Kennedy dressed like that. But she's living in a demon-possessed world. And all of the people that make the fashions today, many of them are just homosexuals. And so they're not moral people anyway. So they're reflecting who they are through one of the primary people that people will watch during this time. But demons are everywhere, right? So in verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Now, when you read that, here's a man running to Jesus that falls down, and then a voice cries out of that man. It's not the voice of that man. That man would not have known who Jesus is. It was the voice of a devil. Because, you see, those devils saw Jesus in heaven. They knew who he was. And they identified him. And they spoke through the mouth of the demon-possessed person. And so whenever you're ministering to people, if you're very astute, you will see many times when people are speaking to you and it's not them. So as a deliverance minister, you have to become a discerner of spirits. You have to discern, is this a spirit? Or you have to discern, is this a man? Or is this God? There are three spirits that are in the spirit realm always operating. Amen? And so that's where we talk about discerning of spirits. I'm working on my book called Gifts of the Holy Spirit again. I wrote it many years ago, but I'm reformatting it and working on it to get it up on the web. And so I'm describing all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit in there. And so discerning of spirits is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so then in verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for all times it had caught him, and he was kept bound. Now, what was he bound with? Chains and fetters. And he brake the bands that were driven out of the devil into the wilderness. Now, so these are what the devils do. They bind people with chains, with fetters, and bands. And so they will take a human spirit and bind that human spirit down in the belly of the person. And then they will fill the human spirits with devils. And once a demon binds a person, spirit down in the belly, that person no longer has a will of their own. That person will be guided and will be totally possessed by devils. And those bindings are like cords on that person. We've talked to you about things like that before. So in the deliverance ministry, you can break the chains, the fetters, and you can break the bindings, the bands that are binding the person to set that person free. So the setting of the person free is driving the devils out in the name of Jesus that are occupying that person and have that person bound, and then breaking the bindings that have the person bound, that person's spirit bound. You understanding how I'm saying this? So you're working with two different spirits here. You're working with the spirits of the devils, and then you're breaking the bindings and the cords that the devils have over this person. You're breaking the binds. You saw what happened a couple of weeks ago with Margaret. When Margaret came forth, as I started to minister to Margaret, the Lord said, break the yoke. And I broke the yoke off of her. And she fell out immediately and got set free and got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All of those things happened to her instantaneously. We didn't have to spend a lot of time on her for that to happen. She had a yoke on her. Well, where could that yoke come from? It could come down family lines. It could come down from grandma, great-grandpa, somebody in the family lines that have practice in the occult realms and bound that person up so that that person is not a person within their own rights. And they're bound and they can't get free. And believe me, in America, most churches, they can't get free. Bill and Miller and I were in a church couple of Sundays ago and ministered there, Pentecostal church. The people were dead, just absolutely dead. And so we got in there by me saying, we're going to do a miracle ministry. If I had said, we're going to do a deliverance ministry, we would have been uninvited. So once we got in and the people started coming forth, they started manifesting. And the woman that was the head of the ministry that day, because the preacher was out of town, she saw a snake spirit manifest in one of those people, and the person's tongue started jarting in and out. And then she saw one coil up right here on the side of his neck. And she saw another street person get free. And she just was amazed. That woman used to be in my ministry as a baby Christian some 25 years ago in 1982 or so. And it was like, gosh, a demon appeared in the church. And we used to cast them out all the time in my meetings when I was in that church. And there were a lot of them there at that time, too. But unfortunately, the churches in our country used to cast devils out. You can read books about it. And some of the famous evangelists used to do it. Oral Roberts used to do it. I mean, Oral Roberts used to come in his tent, and he would have two tents. He would have a tent for, you can just put it over there, he'd have a tent for healing and miracles, and then when people were demon-possessed, they'd send them over to that other tent, and then after the meetings were over, they would go out there and cast devils out. And so Pentecost used to be a lot different than what it is today. And today it's more along the lines of a denominational Baptist church, Nazarene church, something like that. Some of them don't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost anymore, unfortunately. So, but anyway, in this particular case, this devil, in the next verse, this devil said, "And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.'" Now, in deliverance, you hear me many times asking the Lord to take the spirits after we cast them out, to cage them, and to take them to the feet of Jesus, to be tormented before their time. See, devils know that there's a time coming when judgment's going to come to them. And when they will be tormented before their time. They know that that day is coming. And in this scripture, it says, "Torment me not." And so we use these scriptures to ask the Lord, particularly, now listen to this very carefully, particularly whenever a devil touches a Christian. If you've asked Jesus to save you and you are born again, devils have no rights to torment you. They have no rights to touch you. They have no rights to do anything to you unless you let them. If you let them, they'll do it. Amen? If you put your covering up, your blood covering, and you understand that when you say the words, "I cover myself with the blood of Jesus," it's just like a blanket of a supernatural covering comes between you and the demonic world. You might not be able to see it, but it's there. The devils can see it. And when you do that, you have a separation between you and the spirit realm. Jesus protecting you on this side of the veil, and the devil shut out from your life. Well, you have people and they say, well, Pastor, I do that, but it just isn't working for me. And it might not be. Do you really understand it? Do you believe it? There was a man called Daniel that came to us, and I wrote a book called Solitary Satanist. And this particular book talked about Daniel practicing Satanism with just him and the devils. And by the time he got to us, he was pretty well bound up, possessed. And the scriptures that I just talked about the bindings and the fetters, he had his own spirit was bound down in his belly. And when I started ministering to him, casting devils out of him, I could hear this supernatural voice crying, help me, help me. And so I said, who are you? And this voice said, I'm Daniel. And I took my ear and followed where the voice was coming from. And my ear ended up right at the pit of his belly. So I said, I command you to loose him, Daniel, in the name of Jesus. This wasn't talking to a spirit. It was talking to his spirit that the demons had bound up. And release him in Jesus' name instantly. And when I said that, instantly his spirit was set free. He jumped up off the floor, ran about screaming, hollering, praise the Lord because he was set free. That was different than demon possession. But at the same time, because he was coming from so deep of a realm of demon possession, I usually start teaching people about the power of the name of Jesus. Say the name of Jesus. Say, I bind you. You have power to bind and loosen. And so one night he was in his house, and these two big giant spirits came in the room. And they had swords, and he could see them. He said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. They didn't pay any attention to him. He said, they said, we have come to kill you. That's what the devil's come to do. And they had swords. And he said, didn't you hear me say, I bind you in the name of Jesus, like Pastor Holliday does? They said, yeah, I heard you. Said, well, how come you can continue to harass me when I said that? He said, Pastor Holliday believes that, but do you? See, all of it works on faith. And so when he realized that he was getting nowhere on his own faith using the name of Jesus, I had taught on calling angels from the Father's throne. I said, we can ask the Father to send warring angels to protect us. He cried out and he said, Father, would you send some warring angels to make these devils accountable to the name of Jesus? Two giant warring angels came into the room, grabbed the spirits, arrested them, and dragged them out of the room. Now, see, he could see all this going on. Some of us can't see in the spirit realms. But if you do that, whether you can see it or not, it's going on for you. You just have to start practicing the faith for yourself. Start doing what you hear. And God will make it true in your life because he wants you to believe. Amen? And so, in this particular situation, we see that the demons cried out and said, I beseech thee, don't torment us. Now, what does that mean? That means that these devils that Jesus is dealing with recognized him. They recognized that he was the Son of God, and they recognized that he had more power than they did. Amen? And so then they began to plead. Devils don't want to go to hell before their time. I had a guy from Netherlands write me, and he said, I don't believe we ought to tell devils to go to be tormented and to go to hell, because they like hell. That's their home. I had to write him back and say, you know, you're stupid. I said, that is the stupidest thing that I have ever heard. And I said, do you know that they were kicked out of heaven and hell is their punishment? It's not a delightful little cottage with flowers growing around it. It's not everything that they desire. And they don't like to go there. There's devils there that are chained there. They're so wicked, the Bible says. And devils are going to come out of there in the end time that are very wicked to help the Antichrist capture the world. But anyway, in verse 29 it says, for he had commanded unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he broke the bands, and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. So it shows that this man had perfect control over the devils. No, it showed the devils had perfect control over that man's life. And they drove him. He was driven. They were in charge of his body. And he had to do what they wanted him to do. He had no will except what those devils told him to do. No will at all. And so, then Jesus asked him, what is thy name? And the man said, legions, there are many that have entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was a herd of many pigs, and I'm going to stop there. And they asked him, command us to go into the pigs. Now, everything Jesus did, he did it as a study or a learning situation for us and his disciples. Devils have to be or want to be in human beings first. And second, if they can't find a human being to go in, they will go into animals. And they'll go into dogs and cats and things like that. So if you've got animals, pray over them. If witches know that you've got a cat or a dog, they'll send a spirit into your animals. And those spirits can have authority and power, just like they can over humans. The only difference is animals have no will. So when the demons went into the animals, the demons drove those animals into the deep, into the sea, where the animals died. So what God wanted you to see was demons' jobs is to rob, kill, and destroy. And you see that little man that was in the garden or in the tombs, the Bible shows them beating his head up against the walls, trying to kill him. And so the truth is, that he didn't want to die. So he stayed alive because he had a will to live. But whenever they got into the pigs, it drove them to death, you see. And so the Bible showed that the person was totally, totally bound. And the Bible shows Jesus set him free. And when the people came from the city to see what had happened up on the mountainside, because they heard that the pigs had been driven down into the sea, they found a man sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. He had been set free. People that have devils have a different mindset than people that don't have devils. And they're not free. They don't think the way we do. They don't act the way we do. Now, in the world today, the people that are leading our world are demon-possessed. They have a plan. The plan is to kill 5 billion people on the face of the earth. Christians are not praying. They don't know what's going on. But this week, I discovered that they are digging graves all over the country near veterans' graveyards, mass graves. They have FEMA coffins all over the country that will hold at least four bodies. Things are being planned. Something is going to happen in our nation. And it's going to happen, I believe, very quickly. As I talk to you, Obama is going over to meet the Queen of England on April the 2nd. And Obama will go over there, and then within a few days he's going to meet with the 20 G20s. They got a G7, a G8. These are country people representing different countries. Over in the parliament in England, they're having a massive debate because their prime minister has sold out their banks just like our banks have been sold out. And the parliament are saying, you've broke England. He's going to be at that meeting. Obama will be at that meeting. And we believe that it's going to be at this meeting that the international bankers are going to make a stand and say, we are all now under the World Bank. And whenever they take over all of the countries through the money systems, they are at the same time going to set up a Nazi-style government over all of the nations. They are going to, America has FEMA camps in it. They already have people in those FEMA camps as I speak to you. They have places where they're centers, if you want to call them that. Post offices, by the way, they have, what do they call those, where they keep people in, wires, little things that'll stick you if you try to. Yeah, they have those all around the post office, and it's going from the inside out, not from the outside in. And they're going to use post office to capture people there. And malls are being bought up all over the country that have gone broke by the government. Bases, military bases. Our country is gone. Whether you know it or not, it's gone. And they were really putting it to the prime minister in England. 50% of the people in England refuse to take the vaccination shots, but they're making vaccination as a part of government checks, And they are, in order to get money eventually, you'll have to take the vaccination shots. Why don't they want people to take the vaccination shots? Because it's killing people. It's a killing agent. And so we're living in these times where you better know Jesus, because time's short. They already have the little shots that they put in you so that they can track you all over the world. And time is very, very short. Their projected date is 2/12. They believe that their Christ will suddenly come from out of space. This is their beliefs. And will appear and take dominion over the world. Some people believe that they're going to have a fake space snatching of people to make people think a rapture came. We don't know what's in the minds of these people. These people are very evil people. But we do know that they're right on schedule. We believe that Obama is a part of the program, and he may not even be a human being, a real live human being. He may be a breeder baby, or he may be a created golem. That's it's a body that's been built. They can now grow bodies in test tubes, like they did the sheep from Scotland about a half a dozen years ago. He may be one of those that was grown from a stem cell. They want these stem cells for a purpose. Believe me, if they're going to kill 5 billion people, and that I've been hearing about that for over 25 years, and now they seem to be getting things in place for that to come to pass. They may do it with avian flu viruses that they release into the atmosphere, like they do the chemtrails. They may also do it through setting off bombs. We don't know how they're going to do it. But before Obama got elected, his vice president, in a speech, said, within 90 days, there will be a disaster that will happen in Obama's administration. He's in about 60 days now. So we believe the people, when I say we, these are people that have been studying this stuff many years. We believe something is getting ready to happen in our nation. And so we have to pray for our people that are outside the ark, our children, our families. We have to get these Obama tapes in their hands, tapes like this in their hands, because people in churches are not being told anything. Evelyn from Africa is in town. She's ministering at a church out on the north side, and she said, what has happened to America? She said, the church that I'm ministering in is almost bare. The church we ministered in a couple of Sundays ago, it was just sparsely attended. And that church used to be packed out with Christians. We're not just seeing things happening here at Miracle. It's all around and about. She said, my God, she said, when I go to buy things, she said, everything is so expensive. And she's noticed a difference since she was here 3 or 4 years ago. And we're living in the midst of the beast, and we can't see the changes. But the changes are here. And so we, as believers, God is telling you these things because you know people. I would say to guard yourself. Move as I taught you in the beginning of this teaching. If God tells you to say, say. You have jobs. Don't go on your jobs and cause a big commotion or you won't have a job. Right? Be very, very wise about what you do, who you tell, where you go. Pray about it when you leave your house, because we're living in dangerous, perilous times. Keep your children under the blood of Jesus every day, and believe God for total protection, because God can protect us. Amen. I believe that if we pray, God will help us. And that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Did I help you at all today? Amen. Yes, see, they don't have, and they are working every day to take away American guns. Every day, bills are coming up. Constitution is gone. Anybody that thinks that the Constitution will stop them, it was gone before Obama got elected without a birth certificate. The Constitution does not protect us anymore. And we're under a new system of government called socialism and Nazism. And you see, it was the Nazis that kill. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Every time these people take over a country, and these are the same people that took over Russia, it was the rich people in America that funded the Russian Revolution. They took over Germany, they funded Hitler, and they're funding this, and they're funding England. I heard a report on television last week. They want 70% of the English people dead. Now, every time they take over a country, people die. They kill people. And the reason that they kill people, the first people they kill are the people that brought them to power, because they feel that if they can bring me to power, they can come up and bring somebody else to power. They'll be the first. Then they get the Christians, then they get the Jews, and then they get the people that are rich. They'll kill them to go get their stuff. Like, they went in the Bank of Washington and stole everybody's retirement funds. They'll go and get, they'll come out to a city and go to Ponte Vedra and these rich and go there first, because they want their stuff. They want the stuff that they've worked all of their lives for. And then they will go to the welfare people, the people on Social Security. You have no assurance that they're not coming to you. Obama, a bill just passed yesterday called the Give Bill. And that bill will turn loose our young people from middle school all the way up to college. And then the older people, everybody has to be a volunteer. The only thing that they don't tell you is it's mandatory. And what they're going to do, this past weekend, Obama released ACON, the people that stole the election for him, to go and knock on people's doors. These are unelected people, unpaid people, that will come to your door and try to make friends with you to see if you got guns, to enforce the government programs. And they are tattletale bearers. They will go back and report everything that they saw in your house. Don't let them in your house. If somebody comes to your house, step outside and talk to them, and be very careful what you say to them. They will report you to the government. They told it on Jones yesterday. In England, they already have this set up, where people are reporting their neighbors. Listen, the new world is not coming. It's here. The new world order is here. And we as wise people must be very close to the Lord, because we're either going to fall or we'll stand. And there's not one of us in here knows how strong we are. We have to be wise. And Obama says that this is going to be his army. Obama is a communist, and he's going to turn that army loose on us. And when that army comes, they're coming with a project to find out who is, who isn't. They're going to find out who you are, if you're a Christian, where you shop, what you do, where you go. Do you go to church? I would be very careful about if somebody knocks on your door, get dumber than a sheep. Just get dumb. Just say, oh, I don't know. Yeah, what do you think? Well, where do you go to? Ask them questions. That's what I do to Jehovah Witnesses and things. When they come to my door, I ask them questions. They say, well, we want... I said, well, I want to know this. Have you ever seen a miracle? What church you go to? Where do you live? I start pumping them. And then they shake their heads and walk away. They don't know what to do because they come there with a program. And these people will come programmed. Just tell them nothing. Don't you get dumb. Don't try to save them. If God hasn't told you to save them, don't do it. You're in a self-protective mode now from here out. Be very careful about who you talk to. If God tells you to talk, talk. Be spirit-led. You know Jesus, and this is going to be it. I'm not going to keep you like we did last Friday. Jesus said, when they came and said, oh, Jesus, cast out devils by Beelzebub. And Jesus, after they said that, Jesus told his disciples, he said, I speak to you in a parable. And a parable is language that they cannot understand. Do you know that we speak in language that they can understand? So he said, least they hear and get saved. Now, it might surprise you that there are people in this world that are unable to be saved. And that's what I just about fainted when I read that in the Bible. He said, least they hear and understand. And then when he talks to you about going in to the Laodicean church, he says, come out of there, my people. He says, my people hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. But there are people that are sitting there that are not going to hear his voice. And there are people that are sitting there that will hear him calling them out of those false churches. Not everyone is going. Not everyone is going. I'm telling you, these people that have been put in those churches, that come out of these covens, that go to church on Friday, Sunday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and then on Saturday they're over there doing blood sacrifices, they're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm telling you. And there are those kind of people sitting in some of those churches. And so you be spirit-led. If God tells you to go, go. If he ain't telling you to go, like these scriptures that I just taught you, smile. Do like they do. They know who you are. Just smile. And that's it. Amen. Did I help you tonight?